starburst of incandescent blue light expands and dissipates against a black background. Then letters fly in to form a logo. BBC Films. Yellow letters on speech bubble frames spell out the word pathé, followed by an exclamation mark. Then a shadow of a rooster floats into view. Pathé and BBC Films present. In association with Pathé Rennes Production and BIM Distribuzioni. A QWERTY Films, Magnolia May Films production. Daytime. At a garden party, a young woman approaches a group of finely dressed female friends and presents them with a cap filled with slips of paper.
Lord Thomas! Lord Henry! Lord Ambrose!
Lord Robert!
Lord Walter!
You better not let me down, Charles Grey. I've got 20 guineas riding on you.
Only 20? I'd double that if I were you.
She smiles.
Come on, ladies!
Althorpe Estate, England, April 1774.
Gentlemen, twice around the course on my count. 3, 2, 1.
Come on, Miss Grey! Come on, Henry! Come on, Miss Grey!
Inside an opulent mansion, a well-dressed man in a powdered wig wears a serious expression as he gazes through the library window at the ladies cheering the running race. A middle-aged woman turns to look at him, while a man in black legal dress and a white wig writes at a desk.
I trust Your Grace still finds Georgiana an attractive girl.
Of course, Lady Spencer.
She's an accomplished lady of quality and devoted to her duties. She's fluent in French, Italian, Latin, and fully versed in horsemanship and dancing and...
Yes, I'm aware of all that. She's a credit to you.
I can't think of anything that would stand in the way of a singularly happy marriage.
These are not the issues that burden the Duke, Lady Spencer. It is His Grace's duty to produce an heir. On the other hand, your daughter may expect a handsome reward when that occurs.
Thank you, Heaton.
Your Grace.
Your Grace may rest assured. The women in our family have never forfeited on that account.
Well, with that assurance.
The solicitor picks up a large sheet of paper. Then the Duke, William, steps across the room.
So be it then.
Georgiana runs to the finish line in excitement as Charles crosses first.
Oh, I do apologise, ladies, but it appears that my horse has won.
Oh. Again, Charles.
Well done, Mr. Grey.
Well done.
So how much do we earn?
You owe me 40. Is it
20, 40?
My reward.
Smiling, she turns to face him.
And what do you suggest?
Your mother wishes to see you, Lady Georgiana.
Georgiana sighs with annoyance, then curtsies to Charles, who bows his head, then fetches his coat from a servant.
Thank you.
He watches Georgiana as she strides towards the mansion. In the library, Georgiana's mother, Lady Spencer, is alone, staring out of the window. She looks up as Georgiana comes in.
I must apologise, Mama. We'll be making too much noise.
Not at all, my darling. We have more important things to talk of. Come here.
Georgiana steps across the room, pausing to put something on the desk.
I have heard a rumour.
Yes?
That I will soon be addressing my daughter as Her Grace, the Duchess of Devonshire.
Is it true, Mama?
It is.
The Duke of Devonshire.
I had hoped not to part with you until 18 at the soonest. But with such a fine match, it would be selfish of me not to let you go.
But he loves me.
Yes, of course.
I've only met him twice.
When one truly loves someone, one doesn't have to know them well to be sure, Georgina. One feels it right away. I do believe you will be happy with him.
Oh, I shall, Mama. I know I shall.
Her mother smiles and strokes Georgina's face. Now alone, the slim Georgina, with a tall bouffant of neat brown curls, steps onto a balcony, then looks down out at her friends in the vast grounds below. Then, wearing a resolute expression, she turns away. In darkness, she's now standing with a mass of burning candles behind her. She steps forward slowly into daylight to walk down a church aisle decorated with white flowers and candelabras. She's wearing a chunky dark necklace, matching earrings, and an elaborate cream-coloured silk dress with ruffles. Her hair and wig are piled high atop her head, with ringlets dangling down on each side. She passes a young woman and Lady Spencer, then reaches William, who's wearing a red velvet coat and a grey wig with a roll of hair covering each ear. They face each other, bow their heads, then turn to the front. Georgina glances at her husband-to-be while he stares straight ahead. The Duchess. People rush to wave at a horse-drawn carriage. Georgina stares out of its window at people lining the streets.
What do they want?
To see me and my new wife, of course. Can be a nuisance, but you'll get used to it.
Georgina smiles as a boy runs alongside the carriage. Two smart footmen in tricorn hats open the gates to a courtyard in front of a grand building. Then horses lead the polished black carriage with gilt trim past a statue, pulling up in front of an entrance. Two rows of servants line up on either side of the doors. Devonshire House, London. William puts on a hat, then steps from the carriage. A footman offers his arm to help Georgina down. She stares at her surroundings in wonder.
Welcome, Your Grace.
The servants bow their heads as she walks between them, smiling. She enters a large entrance hall, staring up at a tall, domed ceiling. William's playing on a set of stairs with two dogs.
Yes.
William glances at Georgina.
Yes. This way.
Hugo, come with. Come.
Georgina follows him up the stairs, lifting her skirts. At night, Georgina's standing in the Duke's ornate bedroom, featuring a four-poster bed and a portrait of a man in armour. Two maidservants are helping her undress. Then they curtsy as William enters. Georgina smiles briefly as he stands in front of her.
Scissors. You may go.
The maidservants curtsy and leave. William steps up close to his bride, then snips at laces on the front of her dress. He slips it over her hips, revealing a corset over a petticoat. He unties her corset as she stands nervously, her hands in front of her.
For the life of me, I could never understand why women's clothes must be so damn complicated.
It's just our way of expressing ourselves, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Whatever do you mean?
Well, that you have so many ways of expressing yourselves, whereas we must make do with our hats and our dresses.
Hmm.
He loosens her petticoat, then slides it over her shoulders and hips. She tries to cover her naked body with her hands. He stares at her, then removes his wig as she looks down self-consciously.
Would you go to the bed?
Still wearing shoes and knee-length stockings, she steps out of the pile of clothing, then walks over to the bed. She covers her petite breasts with her hands as she takes her shoes off, and he undresses, revealing his rugged, well-built torso. Trembling a little, she lies back, tilting her head to the ceiling. William supports his weight with his hands as he leans over her. Then, by the soft glow of candlelight, he lowers himself slowly down and places two soft, tender kisses on her lips, which she receives inexpertly. Bucking into her pillow, her mouth parts from his, and she gasps and whimpers a little as he bears down into her. His face looms above hers with each new stroke. Daytime. Georgiana's playing cards with her mother in the drawing room.
One has to accept one's responsibility. Certain obligations come with marriage, no matter how burdensome they may seem.
Yes. But when we are together... But when we are together intimately... I mean...
I know. It can be a bother. However, it is only until you've given him a son. Then the occasions will become fewer and less determined.
I think it might feel different if he would talk to me every once in a while. I mean, it's not that he's unkind, but he never talks to me. I thought that he would be like Papa, that under his cool reserve there'd be a wealth of depth and sentiment, but he isn't interested in anything, apart from his dogs.
Try not to be too hard on His Grace, G. He's merely intent on fulfilling his duty. And as for talking to him, well, whatever is there to talk about?
No, you're quite right. How foolish of me to think that I should be able to converse with my husband.
Georgiana, equip yourself with patience, fortitude, and resignation. A boy will come soon enough, and then you'll see.
Georgiana smiles as she lays down her cards. A dinner party.
But we, the Whig Party, simply see this as just, right, and sensible, just to bring independence to America, right to abolish the slave trade, and sensible to bring freedom to the common man, so the blessings of this blessed plot, this England, may be more equally enjoyed by all of its inhabitants.
William looks bored.
I would like to propose a toast to our host and benefactor, His Grace the Duke, and his beautiful new Duchess. Please be upstanding.
Mr. Fox raises his glass.
The Duke and Duchess!
The Duke and Duchess!
Seated, the Duke nods in acknowledgement as the Whigs all drink, then sit down again.
Excellent speech, Mr. Fox.
I thank you. It is always easier to address a congregation of friends, particularly when those friends are drunk.
And how did the Duchess find Mr. Fox's speech?
I must confess, I am not yet at ease with political speeches. Their very form tends to obstruct my view of their actual meaning, if such there be.
In which particular section of the speech did the message elude your grace?
I have great sympathy with your sentiments in general, but I fail to fully comprehend how far we, the Whig Party, that is, are fully committed to the concept of freedom.
we intend to extend the vote.
To all men?
Oh, heavens, no. But certainly to more men. Freedom in moderation.
Freedom in moderation?
Precisely.
I'm sure you are full of the best intentions, Mr. Fox, but I dare say I would not spend my vote, if I had it, of course, on so vague a statement. One is either free or one is not. The concept of freedom is an absolute. After all, one cannot be moderately dead, or moderately loved, or moderately free. It must always remain a matter of either or.
I think it appropriate to say a few words. When...
Everyone stands hastily as William leaves the room. Georgiana curtsies, then follows him as everyone stares after her. She finds him in a hallway, talking to a maidservant.
Could you check the chamber and see if...
Your Grace?
Different kinds of French lace. Mm-hmm.
Is anything the matter?
No.
You just left?
Yes, well, I had done eating, and those damn speeches bore me to distraction. I think we have to ban them in the future.
But you are the Whig's main supporter.
Yes, well, I've no problem with the politics. It's just the rhetoric I can't stand.
Shall I come with you?
No. I mean, why ever should you?
Everyone stands as she re-enters the dining hall, then walks to her seat at the head of a long table. She smiles.
The Duke is perfectly well. He simply wanted to rest a while. Do sit down, gentlemen.
They take their seats.
Was it the length of the speech that got the better of the Duke?
Certainly not. He enjoyed it immensely and expressed a hope that next time it would be even longer.
Your Grace.
Mr. Fox.
Georgiana's walking down a hallway when a naked woman scurries past, clutching her clothes. Georgiana stares after her. Then the woman looks back. Georgiana bursts into her bedroom, where William's sitting on the bed in his underclothes. He looks up.
What's going on?
Nothing to concern you.
I don't understand.
Come here.
He stretches out a hand. She hesitates, then walks slowly towards him.
You look very beautiful tonight. Is this dress your design?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
He places a wine glass next to another.
Then I think you should allow your husband to appreciate it in a little more detail. Come here.
He kisses the back of her hand, then glances up at her face, as he mouths along her wrist. Daytime. A man plays a harpsichord as a servant attends to William and Georgiana, who are dining at either end of a long table. His two dogs are sitting on the floor near him. A second servant, Burley, enters, then whispers to the Duke.
Yes, send them in.
Are we having company?
Don't you think this mutton has a funny taste?
No. Not really, no.
I think it does. Ah.
A woman brings a small girl in.
G. This is Charlotte, and she'll be staying with us.
Why?
He motions with his head, then the woman escorts Charlotte from the room by the hand.
Because her mother is dead and she has no other place to go.
Have you fathered that child?
It's only a little girl, G. It's hardly the end of the world.
Are you expecting me to look after her?
We have a house full of vacant rooms. She needn't bother you. In fact, she may even be of use to you. You can practice your mothering skills. Until our son arrives. This doesn't taste abnormal. I'm sure there's something the matter with it. Could you take it away?
A servant removes his plate.
Does it taste like normal mutton?
Georgina clutches her pregnant belly, silently furious and hurt. Now, she's walking down a hallway. She pauses to look to an open door, where a nanny is dabbing at Charlotte's tears as the child lies in bed.
Does your doll have a name?
Georgina turns away, then hesitates.
Would you leave us, please?
Oh, Your Grace.
The nanny obeys, then Georgina sits on the bed beside Charlotte. Flames flicker within an ornamental marble fireplace nearby.
Hello, Charlotte.
Charlotte stares at her cautiously.
My name is Georgina.
At night, snow falls as horse-drawn carriages pull up in front of Devonshire House. Mr. Fox and another man step out of one. People in fine clothes stream into the lobby. Mr. Fox bows. His friend, Richard Sheridan, gets them drinks.
Evening, ladies.
An inch more, and I do believe Your Grace will explode. Sheridan always knows how to pay a compliment.
Still a few more weeks to wait.
A huge belly has never been more becoming on anyone.
Well, Fox here offers an expert opinion, seeing as he does a giant belly every time he passes the mirror. If your belly were on a woman, well, we'd all know what to think.
My dear Sheridan, an hour ago my belly was on a woman. Now what do you think?
That will teach you to insult Mr. Fox before the gaming has begun. It's very good.
A sketch. Gaming tables fill a room. Georgina, Mr. Fox, and Mr. Sheridan strain to watch as a roulette ball spins around.
Seven. The race wins again.
Georgina's face clouds with pain.
Are you all right, Your Grace?
Your Grace.
William observes his wife from another table.
Are those labour pains? My wife is in labour. I think this calls for a toast. I may have an heir before the night is out. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the sixth Duke of Devonshire.
The sixth Duke of Devonshire.
Daytime. Lady Spencer hurries up the stairs in the grand marble-clad entrance hall. She pauses at a doorway to watch William playing with his dogs. Looking surprised, she enters the large ballroom, but the Duke fails to acknowledge her.
Your Grace?
I'm in no mood for a conversation.
But pray tell me, is my daughter...
Is your daughter at all able to give me a son?
Oh, take heart, Your Grace. As long as the mother is in good health, consider this mishap a draft, a promise of what is soon to come. In our family,
yes,
we...
Yes, I know, in your family.
Your Grace.
Can you see the light?
Georgina's lying on the floor beside a tiny cot.
Darling, how are you?
Quite well.
Is she strong and healthy?
She's perfect.
Lady Spencer sits on a chair.
Did William receive you?
Yes.
Is he upset that she's not a son? He just glanced at her and then left. I've hardly seen him since.
It's been a difficult time for His Grace, my dear. Many eyes are upon him, and not all of them kind. She is the loveliest. Nurse?
No, I will feed her.
Are you sure, darling?
Yes.
She sits up.
I am her mother, after all. Even if she is only a girl.
Ooh. In the ballroom.
Damnation.
A sunny day in the countryside. 6 years later. Three girls, Harriet, little G, and Charlotte, play cards in the back of a carriage as Georgiana stares at them fondly. William sits in another carriage. He looks glumly out the window, then smiles at his dogs on the seat across from him. They eventually arrive outside Royal Crescent in the city of Bath, a row of 30 houses with a classical stone facade.
It is always a pleasure when one is on holiday to request a few words of wisdom. And so, without further ado, it is a great honour to hand over to our most distinguished guest. When she arrives, all eyes are upon her. When absent, she is the subject of universal conversation. And what we see her wearing tonight, I look forward to seeing the rest of you wearing tomorrow. The Empress of Fashion herself, the Duchess of Devonshire.
Georgiana walks out, wearing a tall, feathered hairdo.
To Bath to get away from London, and all of London has come away to Bath. Somebody did indeed ask me what kind of feather it is that I'm wearing. Well, there are only two specimens of this rare bird known to man. One of them has clearly ended up on top of my head. And the other, rumour has it, is running for office in the Tory party.
A ballroom. As Georgiana's dancing, she notices William walking across the room distractedly. Watching from the corner of her eye, she sees him approach a dark-haired woman, Elizabeth, who's fanning herself. The attractive, busty brunette curtsies, then he bows his head and begins to talk to her. But she looks away disinterestedly before excusing herself. Turns to stare at Georgiana, who appears to be enjoying herself as she dances merrily with other men while smiling at them flirtatiously. Elizabeth approaches a table of food, then Georgiana excuses herself from her partner to follow her. Elizabeth smells a piece of fruit and puts it on her empty plate. Wearing a wry smile, Georgiana watches her closely as she struts over.
I don't believe we've been introduced.
No, we haven't. Lady Elizabeth Foster.
I saw you talking with my husband.
Yes. He wanted to dance.
It's not usually considered his forte. And you declined?
I'm ill at ease with male company for the moment.
A servant offers some wine.
Thank you. So what brings you to Bath?
My husband, Mr. Foster, is enjoying his mistress in Bournemouth, and I want some diversion. And you?
The Duke is taking the waters for his gout. And I for my health.
Really? I heard you were here because you could not conceive a son. Oh, I beg your pardon, that was an awful thing to say.
The truth, at least.
Trust me to say something silly. I always do, you know.
Then perhaps you should have accepted the Duke's offer. You have much in common.
William comes over.
home, I think, Georgiana.
Georgiana stares at him, her lips curling up in a small smile. He withdraws.
Where are you staying?
I rented some rooms in town.
We must meet again.
We must.
Daytime. Georgiana walks alongside a river carrying a small parasol, her three children behind her. Harrio runs past, then trips and falls.
Oh, Harrio! Come here! Come here, did that hurt?
Mama!
Oh, my angel! Oh, are you sore? Was that sore? Let me have a look. Is it this knee? I think you shall live. Right, first the bridge, on my count. 1, 2, 3, go!
Come on, Harrio!
Elizabeth.
Up and down, up and down. Why can't we recover like that?
It's too far to fall now. Hello again.
Hello. Your girls are lovely.
Thank you. Do you have any children?
I do. Three boys.
Three boys. What the Duke wouldn't give for one of them.
She's least like you, your eldest.
Yes. I'm sure you know the story. My husband's daughter was born before we married. Her mother was a maid. The maid died. And we took the child.
I'm sorry, have I spoken out of turn?
It's the worst kept secret in London. She's 9 years old now.
And you love her?
Of course I do. The same as all my children. Come and meet them. Girls! Come and meet my new friend, Lady Elizabeth!
They each take a glass of water on a balcony at a private baths.
Thank you. Thermal water. It's the sulfur that makes it smell so bad.
And you really have to drink it twice a day for 4 weeks. Do you have any reason to believe you cannot birth a male?
No. Except miscarriages. Two stillbirths, both sons. But two healthy girls.
Georgiana sits on a seat, overlooking a large, elegant garden. Then Elizabeth joins her.
Everybody's staring at you.
Georgiana sees a large purple bruise.
What's that on your neck? Beth?
It's not illegal for a man to beat his wife with a stick, unless the stick is thicker than his thumb.
Mr. Foster. He can't have done that.
Well, considering what else he's done to me, that's not the worst.
What could possibly be worse?
He's taken my children. He won't let me see them.
She looks out over the garden.
And what do you propose to do?
Really, I'm at my wit's end. The law supports Mr. Foster.
In the meantime, where shall you stay?
Continue lodging till the money runs out.
Well, there at least I think I can help.
At night, they're dining with the Duke at a table laid with candelabras and dishes.
William, we leave tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Elizabeth doesn't have to meet her parents on the continent for some time. She hardly ever visits London at all.
Oh, it's a pity, that.
You see, she doesn't have anywhere to stay.
Oh. Problem, there. Well, why doesn't she stay with us? For a while, at least.
Thank you.
The entrance hall at Devonshire House.
This is incredible. There's a castle in Ireland. Bolton Abbey, Chiswick, Burlington, and why, and Chatsworth, of course.
Of course.
Which is much bigger. But this is more like home.
A bedroom with a four-poster bed.
I'm so glad you're here. I've arranged a wonderful start to the season.
At the theatre.
May all the plagues of marriage be doubled on me if ever I try to be friends with you anymore!
So much the better!
No, no, madam, 'tis evidence you cared not a pin for me! And I was a man meant to marry you!
And I'm sure I was a fool to marry you, an old, dangling bachelor. Who was single at 50, only because he never could meet with anyone who could have him.
An artist sketches William, Elizabeth and Georgiana sitting in a private box. Georgiana beams at the positive reception, then notices Charles sitting among the audience. In the lobby.
Bess, may I introduce Mr. Fox, leader of the opposition. Mr. Fox, Lady Elizabeth Foster. Mr. Fox.
My protege, Charles Grey.
Mr. Grey. Mr. Grey.
Your Grace.
He's our newest bright young man, scarcely out of Cambridge, and already a Member of Parliament.
I always felt you'd do well.
Thank you.
Mr. Fox?
Yes, Lady
Elizabeth. Did you enjoy the play?
I must confess, I did not entirely.
I hope that you've not lost your sense of humour since entering politics.
Not that I'm aware.
Then I'm sure you realise that School for Scandal was written as a comedy.
Yes. Although from where I sat, it read as a tragedy.
Your Grace, how we have missed you. In your absence, London has been reduced to the dreariest province.
And this, of course, is the playwright, Mr. Sheridan. May I present the Lady Elizabeth Foster?
I do not mean to be rude, but I have an entire cast dying to meet the Duchess. I shall return in a moment. Promise.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Well, wherever do I glean such domestic gossip?
We'll be fair on the Duke.
Oh, it could have been worse. My original title was The Bad Marriage.
Charles to Elizabeth.
Is it always like this?
Well, as they say, the Duke of Devonshire must be the only man in England not in love with his wife.
Her Grace, the Duchess of Devonshire. Very pleased to meet
you. Later, holding a glass of wine, Georgiana approaches Elizabeth, who's sitting on a bed.
Were you at all able to forget things and enjoy yourself?
It was a wonderful distraction. Thank you.
Good.
I talked to Mr. Grey all evening.
Oh, yes?
He's in love with you.
Oh, my dear Bess, no, he is not. Quite the reverse, I fear.
Well, can't you tell by the way he looks at you? Honestly, can't you tell?
Stop it.
Georgiana, intercourse is not just about offspring. In fact, it can be rather pleasurable.
Yes, I know.
Close your eyes and try to envisage Grey opening your dress, kissing your back.
They never do such things.
Oh, yes, they do.
Elizabeth puts down her glass, then sits behind Georgiana.
Close your eyes.
And puts her arms around her.
Grey is behind you. Slowly opening your dress.
No, Bess, stop!
Close your eyes.
Georgiana obeys, turning her head to the front. Elizabeth unties her friend's nightdress, then gently slips her petticoat off her shoulder.
Kissing your back.
Elizabeth kisses Georgiana's shoulder, then sweeps her hair aside to kiss her neck. As Georgiana sighs deeply, Elizabeth moves her hand lower down inside her petticoat. Her face awash with pleasure, Georgiana rocks her head back, while Elizabeth studies her expression. The Duchess locks eyes with her for a moment, then blinks away her daze and pulls her robe closed as her friend climbs off the bed. The Duke's climbing the stairs in the entrance hall as he chats with a white-wigged older man. Elsewhere, Georgiana places an empty wine glass on a servant's tray, then takes a full one from it. Charles excuses himself from his company as he sees her approaching.
Your Grace?
Mr. Grey. The national election is in 6 weeks, yes? How's the campaign going?
Terribly. Our only hope is to save Westminster for Fox.
I have many faults, as you well know. Not least among them is my ability to draw attention. Perhaps we could use that to our advantage.
Daytime. Georgiana steps onto a roughly made outdoor stage in front of thousands. The crowd waves blue and yellow pieces of cloth at her. Moves to the back as he steps forward.
Good people of Westminster! The world is on the brink of disaster or salvation! From France to America, men and women are struggling to free themselves, to find meaning in their existence. Change is upon us! We shall not go back to the old ways. We shall take England into this brave new world and shake the thunder from the skies!
Looking invigorated by the crowd's reception, Charles strides into a hallway, turning and taking off his hat as Georgiana comes in.
How did I do?
I think it was not an embarrassment. It was a marvel.
I was nervous. Your presence trebled the numbers at least. I'm nervous even now.
She turns to him, then glances cautiously at some men passing by.
Do you think of me when we're not together?
You ought to know I do.
You hesitated before you replied.
No!
He instinctively grabs her gloved hand, then slowly lets it go.
I'm unused to being asked so directly. And by you of all people. I think of you all the time. I always have.
They exchange a longing look. Then a footman comes in.
Your carriage awaits, Your Grace.
Thank you.
She turns back to Charles, then curtsies politely and hurries off. Back at home, Georgiana strides down a corridor, beaming. She slows down as she reaches a door, with two servants listening outside it. They turn, looking startled.
What are you doing outside Lady Elizabeth's room?
They look down sheepishly.
Who's in there with her?
The servants nod their heads, then walk away. Looking sickened with jealousy, Georgiana endures the sound of their lovemaking for several moments before backing away and continuing slowly back down the hall. Dull daylight illuminates Georgiana's ashen complexion as she sits quietly in her bedroom. William lets himself in, then sees her flamboyant feather hat bearing a badge reading Fox lying on a chair nearby. Sitting at the end of her bed, she watches him coolly. He closes the door, looking dishevelled, his collar, cuffs and waistcoat hanging loose. Georgiana sobs, turning away.
Of all the women in England, you had to throw yourself on her. I have never once objected to any of your affairs. I have accepted whatever arrangement you have proposed. I have raised Charlotte as my own daughter. But this... I have one single thing of my own. She is my sole comfort in our marriage. You have robbed me of my only friend.
He hangs his head.
What is wrong with me?
He steps towards her, then reaches out, but she recoils from his touch. He looks down, then slowly turns to sit in a chair by the door. From there, he stares up at her, then leans back.
I've never claimed to be a man of fine sensibility, but I've always known what I expect from this marriage and what I'm prepared to give. As a husband, I have fulfilled my obligations, but as a wife, you have not.
She has to go. Now. She is never to set foot in this house again.
Do mind your temper, G. You're forgetting yourself.
I want her out. I never want to lay eyes on her again. Go down and tell her to leave at once.
Elizabeth's listening outside.
I couldn't ask her that. I won't do it, G.
Daytime. Staring miserably at the floor, Georgiana is sitting with her mother in the library at Althorpe. Lady Spencer pours tea into china cups on a fine wooden table.
I never liked her from the first.
You made that quite clear, Mama.
She's gone from Devonshire House, I hope.
Georgiana looks upset.
They're living there together. Georgiana, what have you permitted to happen?
I don't know. Help me. Help me, please, Mama. Tell me what to do.
You must write to your husband and insist he send her back to whatever horrid little place she came from.
He will not. It is out of the question, he says.
Lady Spencer considers.
Then you must return and resume your duties. Make him realize whom he loves. You will give up your politics and your gambling. For once, you will devote yourself as a loving wife and settle down to the task in hand, providing him with an heir. Then he will soon tire of her.
Lady Spencer rises, then sits beside Georgiana on a long sofa.
Have no other option.
A horse-drawn carriage arrives in the courtyard at Devonshire House. Once it's stopped, a footman folds down its steps. Then, Georgiana climbs down to walk solemnly to the door. She's wearing a full-skirted dress in a soft pink with a dark green overcoat and a coordinating wide-brimmed hat. William's waiting in the centre of the entrance hall.
Hello, G.
William.
As Georgiana breezes past him and up the stairs, the Duke glances at Elizabeth, who's watching from a first-floor balcony. Georgiana's absent-mindedly playing with a perfume bottle at a dressing table in her bedroom. A door opens, then Elizabeth comes in and closes it behind her, before walking confidently towards her.
I may not have the authority to remove you from my house, but I can at least order you out of my room.
Won't you please let me explain?
There is nothing to explain.
This is my only chance of ever seeing my children again. The Duke is the most powerful peer in England. He is my only chance.
There are limits to the sacrifices one makes for one's children.
No, there aren't. No limits whatsoever.
Get out. We have nothing more to say to one another.
Elizabeth turns sharply, leaving Georgiana staring at her own reflection in the large mirror before her. Her shoulders sag as she sighs sadly. Then she finds her gaze drawn to one of the many tall arched windows before her. She walks over to it, then lifts a curtain to see a carriage arriving in the courtyard. A maidservant climbs out. She turns and lifts a small boy out. Then two older ones step down. Elizabeth crouches low to greet them with a tight hug. Georgiana watches them impassively. Later, she wanders through the corridors towards a drawing room where William, Elizabeth, and her family are together.
When the flint hits there, it causes a spark to happen. The spark ignites the gunpowder.
With a haunted expression, she watches as William keenly instructs one of the boys, Augustus. Elizabeth's younger son is sitting on her lap as they watch them. William has his arm around Augustus as he pretends to take aim with a gun.
Here, let me show you. There. It's quite heavy, isn't it?
As he smiles softly at the boy, Georgiana can only watch, transfixed. The Duke offers his hand, then Elizabeth kisses it. Observing the deep affection in their eyes, Georgiana turns to walk away. Now, lost in thought, she's sitting in the back of a carriage, wearing a hooded cape and a pink rose in her hair. Later, her carriage has stopped by a picturesque river. Smartly dressed in a black coat and round-brimmed hat, Charles is waiting at the water's edge. He and Georgiana exchange subtle, familiar smiles as she joins him for a walk.
Did you tell the Duke who you were meeting?
No.
Did he even ask?
No. He has other things on his mind.
As do you.
She smiles again.
Would it help to unburden yourself?
There's nothing I can discuss with you. Besides, it would only bore.
You don't have to please others all the time.
It's what I've been brought up to do. Difficult lesson to unlearn.
Would you permit me an observation? I believe you do it so that people will love you.
What makes you say that?
From what I've seen. With your husband, your friends, especially Lady Bess. Even the public.
I never thought of it that way before. You make me sound so pitiable.
She strides off, but he follows her.
Georgiana, I've gone beyond my brief. I apologize. Please believe it was only for your sake that I spoke. Please tell me what is wrong.
I fear I've done some things in life too late, and others too early.
He steps closer.
No, you haven't.
Having taken off his hat, he leans forward and places a lingering kiss on her lips. His eyes open.
I'm sorry.
She moves her face towards his, then they kiss again, this time with unbridled passion. They're embracing each other tightly as they continue with a breathless urgency. Then they pause, opening their eyes to gaze at each other. Swans paddle across the calm waters beyond. Daytime at Devonshire House. William cracks a hard-boiled egg on the table while a servant pours tea.
Thank you.
Georgiana looks up from her toast and glares at William, who's opposite, and Elizabeth, who's at the side of the long table. As the Duke feeds a scrap of food to one of his dogs, Georgiana steals herself.
All right.
All right?
Do you love each other?
Georgiana.
Do you love Bess? Your Grace?
Where is all this leading?
I make no demands on him. And Bess, do you love my husband? As I do you. And so you intend to stay? William has asked that I do. You couldn't find it in your heart to refuse him. No. Then let us make a deal.
A deal?
Yes. I give you my blessing. If you will accept my feelings for Charles Grey. I didn't realize it at first. I thought that perhaps it was only a dalliance. He can make me happy.
He ponders.
A deal. A deal. I don't make deals. Why would I? I'm in charge of it all. I mean, I would call him out. I would challenge him. I'd put a bullet in his head.
William.
Be quiet. Are you determined to make me a total laughingstock? A man who cannot sire a son and then a cuckold?
William, Georgiana only asks what we ourselves...
Be quiet, woman! Are you his whore?
No. I can't see why you'd mind. You have Bess and three boys.
Three boys? Do you think I can make those bastards my heirs? Well, do you?
Georgiana storms out. William then strides after her.
William!
Georgiana walks quickly down a hallway, turning back to see William following her. She quickens her pace. Once she reaches her bedroom, she shuts the door behind her, but he opens it to follow her in. She glares at him.
You don't know me in the least, do you?
Yes, I do. We're a bad match.
I asked for two things when we wed: loyalty and a male heir.
Same as your dogs!
He grabs her arms.
Touch me.
Don't touch me! Get up!
He pushes her onto the bed.
Oh, get off me!
Elizabeth watches the closed bedroom door helplessly. Then Charlotte runs up to her.
Come with me. Charlotte, come with me.
Charlotte glances back towards the noise as Elizabeth leads her away. A male servant stands motionless by a doorway. In the bedroom, William takes off his wig, then turns to Georgiana, who's prostrate on the bed.
Give me a son. Until then, stay here. Do as I say.
He walks out of the room, doing up his trousers on the way. Georgiana clenches her nails into her hand. Sheridan is speaking at a rally. Mr. Fox bows to his supporters.
And I give you the weapon, the Duchess of Devonshire.
People turn to look at Georgiana, who stares woodenly ahead. Nearby, Charles watches her. Georgiana hurries down a colonnade. At night, the Duke's welcoming party guests in the entrance hall at Devonshire House. A drunken Georgiana clumsily makes her way through a crowd of people, placing an empty wine glass on a silver tray a servant is carrying. People stand aside to let her pass through the ballroom to where couples are dancing. She closes her eyes, then sways unsteadily to the music as people look on. Mr. Fox makes a beeline for her. She accepts his arm, but then twirls alone. As the music tempo picks up, she too gets faster and faster, spinning across the room, then crashing into a candelabra, sending it to the floor. Musicians in the orchestra put down their instruments, and everyone stares at Georgiana.
Fire!
Her wig's on fire. A man tips the burning wig onto the floor. William turns to a servant.
Please put out Her Grace's hair.
The servant extinguishes the wig with a bucket of red wine. With a contemptuous look at his wife, the Duke walks away. Georgiana's sitting on the floor, a bowed head covered in a white cap. Now, a maid's tucking her in while a doctor packs up his case. The Duke's watching at a distance.
Her Grace needs to rest. As long as she follows strict instructions, there should be no impediment to the birth.
What are you talking about?
The Duchess is pregnant.
The doctor nods, then leaves. On a bright, sunny morning, two boys pull bell ropes in a church with a square steeple. Others across the land echo its chimes. At Devonshire House, a naked baby boy is wrapped in white sheets. The Duke signs his name at his desk.
And there.
Thank you, Eden.
Georgiana's in the doorway.
Come.
Georgiana walks into the room in a long white dress, her hands resting on her still swollen belly.
Your Grace.
As per the terms of His Grace's inheritance,
this is for you, to spend as you wish.
He hands her a check.
Success at last.
William looks away, then she turns to leave.
Georgiana, I too abhor this whole thing.
Georgiana stares at him sadly, lowers her eyes, then walks from the room. Now, she's outside playing cards with Charlotte, while Harry-O and Little G chase each other around the garden.
Twist or stick?
Stick.
Stick? I'll stick too, then. Let's see. You won, well done.
Georgiana glances up at a horse rider in the distance, turns back to the game, then looks up again when she recognises Charles's voice.
Mama, you forgot to deal.
Charles walks across the lawn, which is strewn with fallen leaves, then comes across Georgiana. She steps out to greet him on a gravel path, then he bows his head deeply.
Your Grace.
Mr. Grey. You are called from France.
For a while.
No revolution yet?
No, not yet. But it's only a matter of time.
How is it you are here?
I received an invitation. I assumed it was on behalf of the party. I could not say no.
Of course.
An awkward moment passes between them.
I bore a son.
Yes.
His name is William George Spencer Cavendish, Marquess of Hartington. We call him Hart.
You and the Duke must be very pleased.
We are. The Duke has gone to London to celebrate.
They gaze at each other longingly.
You've been missed. Much missed.
Nighttime at Devonshire House. A crowd is gathered around a gambling table.
10 on the Queen.
4 on 5.
And no more bets, please. The losing card. 4. The winning card, Queen. Ha!
Georgiana and Charles exchange furtive glances across the table as Elizabeth looks on. Charles seems captivated by the Duchess's long, unblinking stare, and a faint smile plays upon his lips.
Five on the five.
All the fives have gone, G.
I think I'm too tired to play. Gentlemen.
Grace. Clutching a glass of wine, Elizabeth follows her from the room and into the hall.
Jaina. No one must know. You summoned Grey. Good night.
Two servants extinguish the flames on elaborate crystal candelabras. Wearing a night robe, Georgiana enters Charles's room, where he's sitting by the bed. He gets up as she closes the door behind her. She stares at him, then steps further into the room. She cups her hands on his neck, then kisses him passionately on the lips. He instantly responds, running his hands down her arms yearningly. She lifts his loosened white shirt over his head. Now, wearing just his trousers, he sits back on the end of the bed and uses his hands to edge himself towards the pillows as Georgiana straddles him in her nightdress. He sits up against her, breathing shallowly as he nuzzles against her chest. Then, leaning back, he wrestles down the waist of his trousers while she raises herself up in anticipation. A moment passes, then her face fills with contented ecstasy. Their bodies begin to move as one. Then Georgiana thrusts him back against the covers. With her skirts enveloping his midsection, she rides him with long, slow strokes. Kissing hungrily all the while, Charles turns her onto her back and hoiks her closer to him, then pins her wrist to the pillow with a firm, strong hand. Daytime. At the breakfast table, a thoughtful Georgiana raises her empty glass with a glance to a servant.
I was thinking about going to Bath.
He refills it.
Bess, you can stay here and look after our husband whilst I take the cure.
Well, yes, William, why not? If G goes now, we can catch up with her when you're free.
Well, if you must.
Georgiana drinks, then smiles sweetly at him. Now, she and Charles are lying in bed reading a newspaper in an elegant Bath house.
The Duchess of Devonshire appeared last week in Bath in a mob cap. Her Grace, ever since initiation into the business of electioneering, has been much attached to the mobs.
Oh, very good. So which one is your favourite?
This one.
In this one, it seems you've hit a winning streak for once.
Very good.
And in this one you see... Is that dress really an appropriate way to attract voters?
You politicians know absolutely nothing about fashion.
But if you were to really ask me which my favourite was... I'd say it was this one.
Staring deep into her eyes, Charles presses his lips softly against hers, and they share a long, loving kiss. Now, he's walking in a street.
Morning, Charles.
Morning.
Charles enters a meeting house. Georgiana sitting at a dressing table while a maid finishes preening the long ringlets beneath her tall mass of curls. The Duchess observes her reflection, then dabs some scent on her neck behind her ears and smiles at herself.
It's perfect. Thank you.
Standing from her dressing table, Georgiana makes her way into another room while sniffing her wrist. A servant taps a cane on the floor, then two more in the next room open the doors to the foyer, beyond which the Duke and Lady Spencer are waiting.
Thought we would surprise you, G. I think you once said there wasn't enough spontaneity in our marriage, or words to that effect.
Mama, what are you doing here?
So, have you seen many of our circle in Bath?
Some. The cooks. And Haverford. And Lord Wicklow.
Bunch of politicos too, aren't there? Meetings and such.
I believe.
Is Grey here? By which I mean Mr. Charles Grey. Rumour has it that he is.
I won't give him up.
Georgiana.
Everyone has a lover. Bess is the lover of my husband.
If you had shown some discretion, it might have been different.
Different?
The only good fortune is it hasn't yet made it to the papers.
My dear, Grey is unmarried. He has no wealth, no rank. He risks nothing with this affair. The hazard is all yours.
Grey loves me.
So does William.
Yes. I love you.
How?
In the way I understand love.
Georgiana, this has gone much too far. It is beneath our dignity. All London is talking.
Let them talk. Grey makes me a fallen woman, well and good. Now William may divorce me and Bess becomes Duchess of Devonshire.
That will never happen. I think I will leave you to it.
Lady Spencer marches out.
What follows now? You're going to tear my clothes off and force yourself upon me again.
Why on earth would I do that? I know that you've never thought much of my manners or my intellect, G. But in fact, I never do anything that serves no purpose. I know precisely what you two have together.
We love each other.
I do not doubt it. He is a dreamer like yourself. You both dream of another world that does not exist, and it never will. As for reality, allow me to enlighten you. If you do not give him up at once, I will see to it that every home and every checkbook in this country is closed to him. He will be welcome neither in the halls of government nor in its back rooms of power. His dream of becoming Prime Minister and your mutual fantasy of a changed world will be dead as ash. And you will never see your children again.
Gasping in horror, she runs from the room in tears.
Georgiana.
William closes his eyes with bleak finality. Looking nauseated, Georgiana stands panting in her room as the reality of her husband's words sinks in. In the foyer, the Duke sits himself down in the chair Lady Spencer had been using. Georgiana turns around, her eyes aflame with rage. Presently, she returns to the foyer, with her mother following close behind.
I must ask you to return to London.
Without you?
Yes.
The Duke stands, then holds out a small bundle of letters.
These are from our girls. Little Heart neglected to write, but then, of course, he's not yet won.
Motionless, she stares at him, defiant.
This will be the mistake of your life.
No. I made that many years ago. I trust you can see yourself out.
He leaves the letters on the chair, bows, then steps away. Georgiana curtsies and bows her head deferentially as he approaches the door.
Damn you, man, open the door!
Your Grace.
Lady Spencer approaches her daughter from behind. Georgiana lifts her gaze from the floor to look at her. Then turns away as her mother silently walks off. At dusk, Georgiana sits alone in a drawing room at the Bath House, staring straight ahead. Two candelabras positioned on top of a dresser provide a dim glow. Her eyes brimming with tears, Georgiana turns to look at the double doors leading to the foyer. They're open, and the children's letters remain lying in a small stack on the chair in the middle of the floor. She rises to her feet, heading towards them. And now, she's sitting in the drawing room once more. She lifts the first of the little parcels from her lap and undoes the pale blue ribbon that's binding the papers together. Large italic handwriting on the front reads, "To Mama." She unfolds it and tries to remain composed as she reads the contents. However, she allows herself a breath, looking winded by emotion. Now, Georgina runs into the entrance hall at Devonshire House, holding on to the brim of her large feathered hat. Upstairs, her children greet her. As she embraces the three little girls, the Duke strides up a corridor towards the room. Wearing his usual cold expression, he observes their affection.
Come on, girls. Girls, run along. Your mother will join you in a minute. Come on. Run along. G.
He's extending a hand to help her up off the floor. The joy suddenly wiped from her face, she reluctantly accepts.
You must know how greatly pleased I am that we have come to an arrangement. It's not good for little ones to be without their mother for so long.
My life for theirs.
That's one way of putting it. Your mother called it common decency before personal gratification or some such thing. The exact words escape me.
How about in prison, in my own house?
No. That's not how she put it. I would have remembered that.
She glares. At night, a servant lifts a silver dome from a plate before Georgina. Then, sitting in their isolated positions at the long table, she, Elizabeth and William commence dinner. Georgina instantly recognizes Charles's voice.
Excuse me.
Seething, the Duke chews his food as she calmly heads out.
Georgina! Please! Georgina!
Thank you, Burley.
Let him go.
I have written a dozen times a day. Still, there is nothing from you. What has happened? Do you love me no longer?
My personal feelings remain unaltered.
Then we must be together again. I want to marry you. I want you to bear my children, and I don't care if they are boys or girls!
I wish it could be that way.
It can. It will. Sorrows will come. However we try to avoid them, we must stay the course and never give in.
No, Charles.
You must leave and be with me. A free woman. Now, let us leave now!
I cannot abandon my children. Listen to what you are asking.
He stares into her eyes searchingly. Then, betraying no emotion, Georgina turns and ascends the grand staircase, while Charles can only look on helplessly. His head bowed, he walks to the front doors under the watch of several servants who'd previously been restraining him. Returning to the dining room, the Duchess slowly walks over to her place at the table. A servant pushes her chair underneath her as she sits. Elizabeth looks down at the table, while Georgina stares ahead blankly.
What's the matter? Don't like the pigeon? I find it quite decent.
He chews as he waits for an answer.
I'm carrying Charles Gray's child.
Elizabeth looks up from the table, then straight ahead, avoiding the fierce glares between husband and wife either side of her.
Please be so kind as to inform the Duchess of my decision.
This is how it will be. You will be taken to the country, where you will give birth to the child, and the child will be trusted to the care of Charles Grey's family.
Georgiana's lost in thought.
Are you listening?
I think she's heard you. Let's leave her.
Georgiana, please.
I said let's leave. This is not a discussion. She's been informed of my decision.
Have pity on her, William.
Pity be damned. She's brought this upon herself, as well you know. Now come.
No. I will go with her.
But you're not going anywhere.
I will go with G if G will have me, and there's nothing you can do or say to stop either of us.
Looking startled by her frankness, the Duke glances between the women, then lets himself out of Georgiana's bedroom. As he goes, the Duchess looks at Elizabeth, who gives her a small smile. There are bright skies over the countryside as a coach travels over a flat landscape. A footman opens the doors to a large but comparatively plain house, then ventures further inside to open the shutters as Georgiana and Elizabeth enter. They take in their new, modest surroundings.
Thank you for coming. I could not be with you.
The two-story red brick house from a distance across a meadow. Indoors, a baby's wriggling in a dark wood cradle in Georgiana's room while she sits in a chair close by, staring sadly. Elizabeth's stitching some floral needlework. Wearing a simple grey dress and white cap, a maid steps into the room. Elizabeth acknowledges her presence.
It's time.
Georgiana nods.
Would it help?
No, I must take her.
Two footmen ride at the back of a black coach, pulled by four black horses. The driver slows to a stop before two more, which are parked in the middle of a deserted field. A serious-looking, portly, greying man climbs out of one, joining a butler and a nursemaid standing next to the other. Elizabeth climbs out of their carriage, followed by Georgiana. With a pale complexion and slightly dishevelled hair, Georgiana turns to receive the baby from a maid. She's swaddled in a decorative cloth. Georgiana then stares at the three people waiting a short distance from her. Remaining composed, she makes her way over to them, while her daughter coos contentedly in her arms. Elizabeth stays by the carriage, and Georgiana stops before the older man.
Your Grace, I'm General Grey.
Where's Charles?
Your husband thought it best if I took care of this.
She nods quickly, then finds herself drawn to look down at her daughter's face. She kisses her gently. Elizabeth watches as Georgiana takes a step forward. General Grey looks to the nursemaid, who comes to take the child from her. Georgiana breaks down with anguish as the baby is carried away.
Grey. Her name is Eliza.
He walks back to his carriage while the maid and butler make their way to theirs. Elizabeth comes to her friend's aid, but Georgiana seems almost oblivious to her presence, unable to take her eyes off Eliza as she's carried into the coach. The sound of the baby's cry seems to exert a physical pain upon her. And she hangs weakly in Elizabeth's tight embrace. With the sight of the carriages disappearing into the distance too much to bear, she squeezes her eyes shut and yields to agonizing sobs. Flocks of birds soar over the treetops in the grounds of Devonshire House. Lost in thought, Georgiana's reclining on a long seat when the Duke comes into the room. Instinctively, she sits up to receive him. He stops by a chair, looking at her. Then takes hold of the back of it, before diverting his gaze to another and approaching it as if to sit down. Glancing up at her again, he clears his throat awkwardly, then finally sits beside her. She continues to face straight ahead. He considers his words.
I'm not particularly adept at expressing myself when it comes to matters of a more personal nature. But I shall try. Over the years, I have acted in ways that you have judged to be harsh. Well, I do not wish for you to undergo any further suffering. In fact, I would like our lives to find a calm normality.
He looks at her warmly.
Lady Melbourne has arranged a small gathering in honour of your recent return from holiday. And given some of the vague reports that have been circulating this past year, I think it would be wise for us to go. Show of unity, so to speak.
Who will be there?
Everybody.
The sincerity in his eyes confides his meaning to her, and she nods in acknowledgement.
As you wish.
The Duke glances towards the window, then turns back to his wife. She looks preoccupied with thought as he gently reaches across to her lap and holds her hand. She gasps, taken aback by this gesture of kindness, then places her other hand on his for a short moment. Standing, William looks out of the window at the landscaped garden where the children are playing under the supervision of Elizabeth and their maids.
How wonderful to be that free.
Georgiana watches him. Then he turns to look at her. He smiles sadly. Then quickly turns and steps out of the room. Remaining in her prim, upright stance, Georgiana watches her husband move down the corridor. Then looks towards the window with a sigh, her deep brown eyes tired and sad. At Lady Melbourne's party.
The Duke and Duchess of Devonshire and Lady Elizabeth Foster.
The trio bow and curtsy to the gathered guests, who return the gesture.
Welcome back, Your Grace.
Excuse me. Welcome home, Your Grace.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, G.
Your presence has been sorely missed.
She clinks glasses with Sheridan and Fox, who whispers to her, then looks in the direction of Charles. Following his gaze, she sees him. When their eyes meet, she affords herself a steadying breath, then smiles gratefully at her company before heading in Charles's direction. Other guests watch with interest as she passes them. Charles sees her approach.
Would you excuse me?
Mr. Gray.
Your Grace. I trust your tour was enjoyable.
Yes. We spent the summer in Switzerland and the winter in Nice.
Well, I speak on behalf of everybody when I say how glad I am that you've arrived home safely.
She smiles.
And what news with you?
I'm to be engaged.
Oh.
To Lady Ponsonby. Yes. The announcement will follow shortly.
Congratulations.
And I have a niece. Eliza. Who is very much loved.
Georgiana nods, bowing her head.
One day you should come and meet her. In a little while. If you would like.
I would like that very much.
She smiles, swallowing down her obvious emotion, then curtsies and walks away. Guests bow and curtsy as she puts on a brave face. Georgiana re-entered society and continued to be one of the most celebrated and influential women of her day. Charles Grey became Prime Minister. Finally, looking more relaxed and contented, Georgiana strikes up conversation with Elizabeth and the Duke. Georgiana, Bess, and the Duke lived together until Georgiana's death. Now, Georgiana strolls up to Elizabeth in the carefully groomed gardens of Devonshire House. With Georgiana's blessing, Bess went on to marry the Duke and become the next Duchess of Devonshire. She takes her friend's hand and they share an affectionate smile. Then Georgiana runs up to the children.
Who's going to catch me first?
With a chuckle, Elizabeth joins in with the chase around a large circular pond with a fountain at its centre. Georgiana frequently visited Eliza in secret. Eliza named her daughter Georgiana.
For another Keira Knightley classic tonight, this time with everyone's favourite Mr. Darcy, watch Pride and Prejudice now on BBC iPlayer.